Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It's Tuesday, November 28th, 2017. Thanks for joining us. Later on, we'll talk to Greg Gurley, see what he thinks about Alex Smith. And then Jeff Jadia from NFL.com and NFL Network will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Always good to talk to Jeff. He wrote about the Chiefs and Alex Smith. I feel like if I could get him on board, then that would be my last task of people, at least that I consider in my circle, to buy into. I got to convince Nate still. But once I've convinced Nate, then I feel the deal is done. If I can get Nate to say, start Patrick Mahomes right now, then I'll walk away a happy man with tears in my eyes, and I'll go watch Coco again. Jeff Chedia will be in the studio in the 9 o'clock hour. I can't wait to talk to Jeff, because I think Jeff finally, much like the Chiefs defense, Jeff is now bending. I don't know if he is, I don't know if he'll break, but I think he will bend based on some text messages. So we'll see what Jeff Chedia has to say in the 9 o'clock hour. You're bending.
Yeah.
You're not broken.
No, I've bent.
Jake will break you. I bent you. Jake's going to break you.
Like Ivan Drago?
How's that sound to you?
I don't, neither one sounds good.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, it does.
Just sounds painful.
Maybe it's therapeutic for you.
Maybe.
You know? Break you down and you get built back up.
I can break you gently.
What?
I don't like the way this sounds.
Now that didn't sound.
No.
To me, that didn't sound good. I don't like that. But who might have said anything to Jake about that, right? There's plenty to talk about once again in football. Andy Reid's press conference yesterday. I don't know. We'll listen to it. He said he's going to make himself clear, but I don't think he was really clear. Not very specific. It's just, he just said the same thing he said over and over again, but he just said it in a more stern voice. Starts with me, it's not one guy, it's everybody. He just said it in a different tone, that's all. Nothing really different. And he wasn't going to say that, okay, Mahomes is the guy, or I'm questioning Alex Smith. He wasn't going to say anything, and he's not going to say any of that stuff. And so, again, if you're expecting that or if you're wanting that, it's not going to happen. I don't know if anyone had a chance to read Jeff Schwartz, who I'm having trouble. Oh, boy. I listened to Petro talk about this yesterday. I saw an exchange that Saran Petro had with Schwartz. I follow Jeff Schwartz on Twitter. And I think if you're a football fan, especially a Chiefs fan, he's a good follow, because he does provide some very good insight, some in-game analysis, some background because he played here with the Chiefs, and obviously some more background because his brother is the starting right tackle for the Chiefs. But it's also hard for me, yeah, because he's biased. He, no matter what he says, he is. He is, and he can't. He can tiptoe around things and say some things, but he can't say everything because he'd get his brother in trouble. And he's very defensive about the offensive line play. He's an offensive lineman, and his brother's on the offensive line. I mean, come on, that's obvious. So he did write a column yesterday, and you would imagine he's getting some info from his brother, but just he has been one to absolutely poo-poo the idea of Patrick Mahomes coming in and Patrick Mahomes playing at all and being able to do anything. And who knows? I'm quite sure his brother would hear about it if, you know, the starting right tackle's brother was campaigning or saying that Patrick Mahomes is the better guy on Twitter and writing articles about it. You cannot tell me that wouldn't come back to Mitchell Schwartz. That would be the first question in the locker room. Hey, Mitch, yeah, your brother says that Mahomes is the guy to go to now. What say you, starting right tackle? So that's kind of why when you read what Jeff Schwartz has to say, okay, he's giving some good analysis, but that'll be the last guy that's going to say that it's time to go to Patrick Mahomes because he doesn't want to throw his brother under the bus. And look, maybe his brother's telling him, look, Alex Smith is the guy. He's our guy. Or he's telling him, hey, they're not going to make the switch, even if they should. But he wrote a column yesterday that he'd been teasing, and I retweeted it, and it basically just poo-pooed and cock-eyed any idea of Patrick Mahomes. And maybe that's just the case. But also, it's an interesting dynamic. I don't know. I mean, he can provide some insight, but also he's got to protect his brother. He's not going to throw his brother under the bus. He's not going to say anything that his brother's going to take heat for. You know, so you can't give up too much, or you'll know. I mean, we kind of know where it's coming from. That's kind of easy, and you know, I'm sure he still has some friends here in the organization. But so that was sent out yesterday. There was a couple of others that were, and again, you have to understand. A lot of writers in the NFL get their info and get their cues from GMs or people in the front office or coaches they have relationships with, and they will do coaches and GMs a solid favor. Say, hey, write something saying that Smith's still the guy and you know, take some heat off of us. Everyone's saying to go to Mahomes. Write something, and that happens all the time. That's especially in the NFL. You see many times that national writers who are nowhere near Kansas City will break stories about the football team because they get a phone call, not because they are, gumshoes out there, you know, overturning every stone, trying to find, you know, and contacting sources and everything else. We're getting a phone call from the GM. We're getting a phone call from the coach. Oh, yeah, this is what happened. This is why this guy got cut or whatever. That's just the way it is. I mean, you've heard Gabe DeArmond and others complain at Missouri games that Jeff Goodman's breaking stories, you know, 1,000 miles away because he's not really breaking a story. He's getting a phone call from someone telling him what the story is. And he's just a mouthpiece for whoever he has a good relationship with at Mizzou, while people that are actually around the program that have sources aren't getting the story, which that's the way the world works. That's the way the media works. And so you always have to try to figure out, okay, where is the story coming from? Why are they writing it? What's the motivation? Who do they have connections with? And so I don't know. Like, so when Jeff Schwartz writes something, how do you take it?
Well, I certainly take it with a grain of salt, like you said. I mean, and he's even admitted that he's biased toward Mitchell Schwartz. He doesn't admit any other biases, I don't think. But I've seen him refer literally to Mitchell Schwartz as his boy. And he'll openly defend him and all that. I think you're right. I don't think he's going to write anything that's going to get Mitchell Schwartz in trouble in the locker room or with his coaches.
Go to Mahomes now.
Yeah, right. I mean,
I've talked to some players that think that. You know,
how do you think that goes in the offensive meetings if Alex Smith comes, hey, dude, what's up with your bro?
Right, exactly.
You know?
It's not happening.
And these
guys
read this stuff. They pay attention to it.
Sure.
But no matter what they say.
He does give some interesting thoughts as to what is wrong.
For sure.
What's wrong with the rest? Did you guys get a chance to
read
it?
Yeah, and I actually even thought that some of his arguments for staying with Alex Smith for the season were at least interesting or compelling.
No, if you, no matter what side of the argument you're on, you should read, I think, articles that support both arguments, both sides.
Yeah.
I think that's important to try to gain some perspective. If you've dug your heels in and, okay, you know, Alex Smith should still be the quarterback, you should still read some articles, read some columns, listen to some people that have an opposing view, and open your mind to it. If you're totally for Patrick Mahomes right now, you should listen to some reasons, some real reasons why, not because someone's buddies with Alex Smith or not because someone you know works for the Chiefs. I mean, listen to someone who doesn't have vested interest in Alex Smith starting at quarterback. And listen to what they have to say. Like, all this time, I've been really balanced out by whenever Jeff comes in. because Jeff Judea, and so that's, I'm interested to see what he says. You know, a lot of this time, I've been probably too aggressive in my desire to see Patrick Mahomes, and you've helped balance that out. And so it's evened out. It evens out on this show. Jake is on another planet when it comes to that. Jake would rather see this mannequin over here at some point,
yeah.
I think.
The Rally House mannequin, yep.
Take a few snaps.
That mannequin has a good arm. Mm-hmm.
Jake is, got to the point where I forced Jake to campaign for Chase Daniel, Nick Foles.
Yep.
I feel like whoever is the backup quarterback at any given time during the last 4.5 years, whoever that is, that would have been, I feel like he would have had a loyal supporter in Jake Pounders.
Yeah.
But again, so when we talk about this, you know where we come from. Mm-hmm. You know what our beliefs are. But
I don't think that mannequin misses Travis Kelce on 4th and 4.
Would you?
I don't think.
She's not talking either.
Heck of a poker face.
See? So some of the points I did want to make with this article, some things that are wrong with the offense besides Alex Smith. Okay? So, because it's important to talk about that. The running game has dried up. That's number one. Mm-hmm. That's the most important topic to talk about, because that's been the most alarming thing about this. Because even if your quarterback is struggling, if you have a good running game to lean on, that can get you through. And had Kareem Hunt been able to be as productive, not as productive, half as productive as he was in the first part of the year. And because in this last game, they did nothing. Even if he would have been, 4 yards a carry. Just reasonable against the Giants and the Bills. That may have been enough to win both of those games. Remember, we're talking about an overtime game against the Giants and a one-score game against the Bills where the Chiefs had the ball multiple times. And so would the running game have made a difference? Hell yes. They might have already won the division had it been, if they didn't have all these offensive struggles. And it's not just Alex Smith. So what's the problem there? But it's related to Alex Smith. If you don't respect the pass game, if you don't think the quarterback can beat you over the top, if you don't think you have to defend certain parts of the field, it makes it easier to key on Kareem Hunt. The offensive line has not played as well as expected. That's got to be a huge factor that you discuss. Andy Reid's in a play-calling slump. Andy Reid's in a slump. And if you wanted to absolve Andy Reid from this, and I don't know. I was talking about Andy Reid putting clown suits on opposing coaches in the AFC West, and that has not worked out well. The only AFC West game they've lost was against Del Rio, and that was not a good showing for Andy Reid, because Andy Reid's responsible for everything. You just can't put the offense on him. He's responsible for everything because it's his team. He's the head coach. And so he's been in a slump. His play calling has not been good. Game plans haven't been good. And he's been outcoached by defensive minds over the past couple of weeks. So he's to blame as well. And so when you hear Andy Reid say that, there is some truth to it. It's not just Alex Smith. But again, why have we always wanted the Chiefs to draft a quarterback in the first round? Because quarterback is the most important piece of an NFL team. The most important thing is a franchise quarterback. Because if you have a franchise quarterback, I mean, it doesn't matter really who your receivers are. You can get away with a lot of holes. You can get away with a lot of deficiencies if you have a franchise quarterback. Right? How many different freaking, and I hate to use this guy because he's the best of all time, but I'll use this guy because that's who the Chiefs have to get past at some point until he retires, if he ever retires. How many different running backs and offensive linemen and wide receivers and tight ends have they rolled through there in New England? And somehow Brady's been able to throw to all of them and be successful with all of them. Because when you have a franchise quarterback, it's more important than everything else. A franchise quarterback elevates everyone around them. That's why the Chiefs have been so desperate. That's why the Chiefs fan base has been so desperate to get a franchise quarterback, because we're sick and tired of hearing about how all the conditions have to be just right for the quarterback to succeed. And that's been the narrative for so long. Well, I mean, you know, you got to have the running game going. You got to have a better wide receiving group and the offense. That's like the story every year. Okay, now Alex Smith has the supporting cast. And this year we finally thought he had the supporting cast. And he basically has the same guys as he did at the beginning of the year. No Chris Conley. But I mean, is that what we're going to chalk it up to? Well, Chris Conley's the difference. Would he help? Sure. But, I mean, is that what we're doing? We're gonna say that the number two wide receiver is the reason why the offense can't score more than 10 points? No. Nope, that's not good enough. And so I retweeted this. You can follow me at SSJWHB. Andy Benoit wrote an interesting column, Sports Illustrated. SI.com had a column. I think it was more in support of Alex Smith. And it was very interesting. That was the hottest topic, one of the hottest topics in the NFL yesterday that everybody wants to talk about. What are the Chiefs going to do with Alex Smith? And the question is right now, nothing. And you know what? I've said three games. You got three games to win this division. But if they lose one or both of those games at home, they can't lose any more home games.
No.
They have to win both of those games. Basically, where I'm at for these next three games with Alex Smith, you lose a game, you lose your job. And I don't think that's too much. I don't think that's going overboard. Now, it's not going to happen. I don't know that Andy Reid's at that point. But for me, you lose another game, you lose your job. Because these next three games, that'll cost you the division, really. And maybe you don't quite say that about the Jets. But boy, if they lose to the Jets, it's hard for me to believe they're going to come home and beat the Raiders and the Chargers. That would be real hard to believe. But certainly, if they lose it home to the Raiders, or if they lose it home to the Chargers and then lose their grasp on the division, let's go. Moving on. Is that too much?
I don't think so, and I think that there's a better chance of that happening under Andy Reid than you think.
What you say that because you know something.
I took something out of what he said yesterday, that answer to Petro's question.
What'd you take out of it?
Well, I think at the beginning of the season or during the draft when they drafted him, he was very clear. Patrick Mahomes isn't going to play. Alex Smith's our quarterback. He was asked that question yesterday. He didn't say that. He didn't answer the question. That, to me, is the first time that he has not flat out said Alex Smith is our quarterback. I think that's very significant.
And here's the other point I'll make. Because the people that defend Alex Smith repeatedly, well, Mahomes just isn't ready. Mahomes, he's not ready to play. He's not an NFL quarterback yet. Right? So why in the hell is he your backup? And is he one snap away from being in an NFL game when you have a guy that you've had on your roster for almost 5 years? Is the third guy that's inactive all the time. If he's so overmatched and overwhelmed, and you're so concerned about winning the division, why are you one snap away from putting this 21-year-old kid that's wide-eyed, what's going on here? If you listen to people, you would think he has no idea what the hell, that he needs a ride to Arrowhead because he can't find it on his own. Do we really think he's that incompetent?
No.
But that's, you know, it's going to take a year or two for him to figure out, where the playbook is. He can't even find the playbook, much less learn it. Then why is he the backup? Then why are you one play away from putting him in the game? Then if this really is a redshirt year and he's not close to being able to compete at the NFL level, don't you just put him on ice and have Bray, your veteran backup, who you've invested thousands of days on, to be prepared to be a backup, right? So then maybe he is kind of ready for action if you need him.
There's a couple things to that. I heard Stan give some interesting observations on that, but I know we need to break. But I could give you a couple thoughts on maybe there's a middle ground there.
No middle ground. Screw you and your middle ground. No middle ground on this show.
Fair enough.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let us give you, and look, I know a lot of people don't care, but I care because it it directly affects Mizzou in the SEC East. And I find this fascinating. And K-State fans should care because of John Curry's involvement. And this has got to be at least somewhat enjoyable for K-State fans from afar to see this thing melt down. But and it's the timing was so funny because then we had our debate about the Tennessee football job, and so it's kind of relevant on this show. But let's add to the list of coaches that have said no now to Tennessee. And so, Nate, you've brought up Clay Travis yesterday and how he's kind of been the ringleader of this whole deal on Twitter.
Yep.
And I was he was having a back and forth with Doug Gottlieb.
Oh boy.
Who is a regular guest, and if you like college basketball, it's a terrific segment with Seren Petro.
Every week.
So they're going back and Gottlieb defending Greg Schiano and accusing, you know, Clay Travis of going overboard, and I'm sure it was all fabricated because they work for the same company. And hey, let's have a fake debate. Whatever, who knows? Maybe it was real. But so Clay Travis made some kind of point. Like there's seven coaches right now that would take this job. This job's still a very attractive job. Doug Gottlieb's like, no, there's not. A lot of these coaches that you're throwing out there have no interest in this job now. And so what are the names? And it almost felt like Clay Travis was trying to find a safe name that seems like an attractive name that he knows would take the job, right? He says, well, let me give you a chance. David Cutcliffe. He'll take the job. You know, he was here at Tennessee, and, you know, and he had some success with Ole Miss with Eli Manning as his quarterback. And so
I believe he was still the offensive coordinator when they won the national title.
Yes, I mean, so, you know, and there's a Tennessee guy, and he's a hell of a coach. He just hasn't been able to recruit to the level that you need to. But you know, you have the right recruiters around him. He can coach offense like nobody's business. Last night, and Doug Gottlieb goes, that's a big name. That's going to satisfy Tennessee fans. Chris Lowe from ESPN last night. Tennessee has reached out to David Cutcliffe about the Vols head coaching job, but Cutcliffe informed Tennessee officials that he wasn't interested and plans to finish his coaching career at Duke. So now you have a coach with Tennessee ties choosing to stay at Duke. Football. Not basketball, football. Did you ever think you would ever hear that?
No.
In your lifetime?
No.
Hey, you want the Tennessee job? I'm good here at Duke. Thank you. And guess what? It's probably a smart decision, isn't it? Because his first three-game losing streak, he is going to get mobbed on Twitter and people are going to demand that he gets fired. And he knows it. So he's like, you know what? I'm real good here with zero expectations. Everyone likes me here. And whatever we do is way above what we're supposed to do as a football program. Good night, everybody. I'm well paid, and that's it, right? There's something to be said for that. Being happy where he is. Like the Duke fan base is never going to revolt for a couple of losses in football, right? No, they're not. So he's good. Isn't that crazy, though? Like, I wasn't. Clearly, we had a difference of opinion about the Tennessee job, but I didn't think it was going to get this bad. This is almost unbelievable. And now John Curry, he might be on his way out. And then it gets last night to WWE Raw, where they're chanting Fire Curry on Raw. What the hell's going on? That's fantastic.
Raw is war.
Like, hey, John, the WWE crowd's against you now, and we're going to have to let you go. And that might be a factor, which would be wonderful. Because I don't know if an AD's ever been fired due to poor response from the crowd at Raw. But I want that to be the case. I can't believe it.
It's amazing. The fact... I mean,
and they did this to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I amend everything that I had to say about the Tennessee job based on this. Like, I did say that the Florida job was better, so it doesn't surprise me that Mullen would take that job over Tennessee. But what the Tennessee fans allowing themselves, by the way, to be led by Clay Travis, which I don't know.
And I guess, like, the exposure to Tennessee fans after having watched, you know, Missouri yeah. in the SEC for a while, and that's kind of where I was coming from. It's I shouldn't say it's bizarre because that's kind of the SEC fan base is just it's different. It's yeah. a just different deal, but it's even more so because like you know Auburn fans and Alabama fans are crazy and look they do have elite programs right now. That I mean, look at them.
But sure,
like Tennessee is it's just. It's wild, man. And some of the, like, you know, you read some of the message boards and you hear what they have to say when they lose to Missouri or lose. It's just, it's a wild thing.
Yeah.
That I don't know where it's going to head. I don't know who's going to be the coach now.
Well, I personally think they probably ran off their best candidate.
A few of them.
Yeah. But I mean, look, you know, that Greg Schiano's record at Rutgers was 68-67, so they want to point to the 500 record.
And they, but they point more to the conference record.
Yeah, it's 28-48. But if you look at like where it started, his first 2 years, his conference record was 0-7. Rutgers was nothing.
He put Rutgers on the map, and look at the number of NFL players that would have never gone to Rutgers. But again, he's a New Jersey guy, and that's East Coast. And it's once again kind of a weird deal.
Sure,
kind of a weird fit. You can see how that would work.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that it would have been a slam dunk hire, but compared to what they're going to be sifting through to try to hire somebody now,
yeah.
And I don't buy for a single second that any of these Tennessee fans cared about the kind of the fact that his name was brought up in one deposition in the Penn State case. I don't think they care because you know one of the names they're throwing out now, the Tennessee fan base, is Bobby Petrino. You think they're real like hung up on morals? They're hung up on whether or not they think they got a coach that's going to win. They thought they were going to get John Gruden. And they didn't get John Gruden, and they didn't get somebody at that caliber, so they got mad.
Right.
You know? And I don't know, man. And now nobody wants the job, and I don't blame – why would you? Why would you want that job right now?
I would hire Kevin Sumlin. I think long and hard about that one.
You can do worse.
They have to readjust their expectations. That's the deal. You have to readjust your expectations. And I think Sumlin would recruit the hell out of it, out of that job. He'd be able to recruit kids who want to play offense for him. I mean, I don't know. And the reaction from Tennessee fans would they turn their nose up to it.
Yep.
But I think he could end up at Arizona State.
Well, I was watching Scott Van Pelt last night after the Monday Night Football game, and he was talking about both Nebraska, and, you know, I think the best comparison to the Tennessee job is the Nebraska job. And like you said, Nebraska's got a better tradition than Tennessee, but they both have fantastic traditions. But as Scott Van Pelt said, their VHS, you know, their national championship teams, they're on VHS. They're not on DVR.
You used to watch VHS?
You know? No, but I had the Tennessee national championship game on VHS. I probably still do somewhere in my basement. And that says something about, like, okay, yeah, that's you got tradition, but times have changed, and it isn't the same anymore. But the fan base still expects their teams to win, so they run off guys like Bo Pelini or, you know, Butch Jones, whoever. And we'll see if they get better for it or worse.
One time I had a VHS tape that was labeled, I believe, like some Grammy Awards. And my mom put it in the VCR, and it wasn't the Grammy Awards.
Yep.
I don't care.
That was a very unhappy day in the St. John
House. Could have been because of the society in the bar.
Who recorded this? Ah!
Coronal mass ejection.
How did that happen?
I called your dad.
Then back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Quickly, let's give you a Monday Night Football update. I don't know if anyone if anyone settled in to watch that game last night. Ravens beat the Texans 23-16. Ravens 6-5, keeping their playoff hopes alive. Texans' playoff hopes clearly took a hit. Tom Savage, the quarterback of the Houston Texans, 22-37, 252 yards, a couple of picks. Quite sure the Houston Texans media wanted to have at Tom Savage and question him after a big Monday Night Football loss. Here is Tom Savage's post-game press conference in its entirety.
Good?
Good. Great.
See him walk in there? You hear the PR says it. Nobody's here.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're good?
We're good? All right. I like the fact that he asked nobody if we're good.
But he's just doing his due diligence. Right, hey, they got it on tape. We're good?
So there's your answer of what happens if a quarterback shows up for a post-game press conference and the media doesn't.
I guess there was a camera guy there at least, right?
You good?
You good?
Hey.
Great.
Right. You ever feel like doing that at like 6 o'clock in the morning here, just like walking in? Hey, we good? All right.
We good?
Going home.
Yeah. Well, many times I feel like when I drive through the parking lot, just keep on going, you turn and go right back. Right back, head north. But you know what? I don't. You know why? Because you're not good. I want you to be good. So I come in here and let's have some fun. You were going to make a point about the Kansas City Chiefs, and because I just find it funny that people will say that Patrick Mahomes, there's no way he could possibly play in an NFL game. He's just not ready yet. The Chiefs have him as the backup, one snap away from playing. When they have another quarterback, they can have the backup, but they didn't believe Patrick Mahomes could play.
So a couple things to that. Number one, I would also encourage people to read the Jeff Schwartz article because he is critical of Alex Smith in the article. And I do think that's still a distinction you can make. Even if you're not for the quarterback change yet, you can still acknowledge that Alex Smith is playing very poorly, and he is. You can just maybe think that that's not the best course of action for the immediate future or whatever. And he lays those reasons out. So I would point that out. If you think he's just going to blindly defend Alex Smith in the article, he doesn't. He's critical of him. When it comes to Patrick Mahomes being the backup, there's a couple reasons that could be for that. Number one, I heard Stan Weber make this point. I thought it was an interesting one. He made the case that the Chiefs ought to start, if not now, in the very near future, working Patrick Mahomes into some specific situations. End of half or end of game, maybe. Give him the two-minute offense. Or a certain drive each game. As you might recall, the Gary Pinkel, Missouri Tigers used to do that some, right, with their younger quarterbacks.
Did that a lot, but I don't think that would go over very well in the NFL.
Well, that's a fair point. And I'm not saying that they should do it, but what he said about it I thought was interesting, because he talked about Skylar Thompson and how at first when Skylar Thompson came in, it was on a limited basis to manage his way through the end of a game or something like that. And instead of putting the entire helping of a full game plan on the plate of a young guy, give him, hey, this is the specific packages we're going to be using for this drive, and this is what we're going to do. It's a little bit less to digest, right, in a short period of time. And so what made me think of that was, I don't think they would do that, but perhaps that's kind of the game plan in terms of him as a backup. Like, okay, in case of emergency, these are the limited packages we have for you to get us through a game, and then we reevaluate from there. So that might be one thing. Another reason is, I believe, in the way practices go, the first-string quarterback gets, what, like 70% of the reps? Whatever it is, it's a big percentage of the reps. And then the backup quarterback gets the leftovers, and the third-string quarterback gets no reps in practice. They got to have Patrick Mahomes getting reps in practice. They have to. Because he is the guy for next year. I think almost all of us agree on that. So that could be part of it too. And they have to find that balancing act of where, and look, I'm not telling you he's not ready. I don't know. I'm not in practice. I don't know what he looks like in the meeting rooms and what he's digesting and what he's not digesting. But one thing I did think was interesting that Jeff Schwartz pointed out, And I don't think this, by the way, rules out the possibility of a quarterback change at some point this year. But he pointed out that they have, that, you know, they said from day one, we're drafting Patrick Mahomes. He's going to sit this year, and Alex Smith is the guy, and then we'll evaluate after that. So they've tailored the entire offense to the skill set of Alex Smith, which is very different from Patrick Mahomes. He's got to throw shorter, more timing route-based concepts and things like that, where Patrick Mahomes is the guy with the big arm, the ability to throw on the run, and is not really the guy that you do the zone read options and the running quarterback running plays and stuff with. So they've spent all season with, you know, tailoring an offense to one quarterback. If you just pull the plug and switch midstream, it's going to put Patrick Mahomes in a bad situation. Like I said, I don't think that rules it out, because I still think if Andy Reid's starting to contemplate it now, he can start adding some tweaks and changing things, and then in a week or two from now, start to make that change. But I did think that was an interesting concept, or, you know, thought process that I hadn't really thought much about.
I think some people are making it way more complicated than it actually is.
Maybe.
And can you imagine? I mean, as hypersensitive as Andy Reid is about answering questions about the quarterback, can you imagine he puts Patrick Mahomes in for just one drive and Mahomes throws an interception and you take him back out, or Mahomes throws a touchdown and the NFL, it would never happen.
Like I said, I don't think it's going to happen. But it made me think about the idea of why he would be the backup if they think they can, you know, manage a game with him with a more tailored down game plan. I'm with you. I don't think there's any way he plays him for a series here or there.
We will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll play some more clips from the Andy Reid press conference in the 7 o'clock hour, just after the 7 o'clock break. But here, let us play you his opening statements yesterday out at Arrowhead Stadium. Here is Andy Reid with his overall thoughts on the loss to Buffalo.
We obviously need to do better as a football team. On the positive side, I thought we did some things, made some improvements defensively. We did well in the run game part of it. Pretty much shutting down a running back that I consider one of the best in the business. Offensively, we continue to start slow. That's my responsibility. And I'll address that, you know, with the offense. I always go back and look at what I can do better. I think we all probably need to do a little bit more of that. So with the core group that I've got on the offensive side, you know, I know they'll look in the mirror first and demand more from each other. I'd say that all the way through with our locker room. I know we've got a good locker room. There's an ebb and flow in the National Football League that takes place at times. Every year is different. And you're going to have some highs and lows. And we're obviously not playing as well as we would like to play, and the end results are showing that. So everybody has to feel that urgency to change it. And again, I thought we had a good week of practice last week, but we stalled coming out of the gate on the offensive side of the ball. So we can't do that. And so we've all got to pick our game up there.
Jeez, that sounds like a press conference after a playoff loss. I mean, just...
I thought that was the most candid and informative press conference that Andy Reid's had that I can remember. And that's not saying much, because he usually doesn't say anything. But he actually got into some strategy stuff. He talked formations. He talked about what the Bills did to them defensively. And he didn't name a quarterback.
You know, it's not government secrets. It's okay to be open about football.
I think it's great.
I mean, it's football coaches take that just so far sometimes.
I totally agree.
Come on. But boy, oh boy. The enthusiasm was not palpable there. I mean, that sounded like a coach talking about the end of the season. like a season-ending loss. And who knows? Maybe that's what we saw on Sunday. That remains to be seen. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Nate yelling at people down the hall right now. If you'd like to turn on 38 The Spy, just slam the door.
Say that again, Sarah.
A lot of things going on right now in the early morning here at Union Broadcasting. Boy, oh boy. Well, you know what? That's why we do the early mornings, because nobody else wants to. We really don't want to either.
It's a tough job.
Not really.
Nope. Nope.
Let's, how about this? Let's do another 3 hours.
Yeah.
Get for it. How's that sound, Kansas City?
Do we have to? Yeah.
We get to.
Kansas City's like, oh, no. Well, I'll stick with us on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Will you?
Nope.